The first sefer of Treyasar is the sefer of Hosea, which is not chronologically first in order, but is mentioned first as he was one of the first of what they called the Nevi'im Acharonim, the later prophets. Most of them, if not almost all of them, lived during a time period described in Sefer Malachim, which Malachim itself is considered part of Nevi'im Rishonim, but the Nevi'im who prophesy later prophesied during the Nevi'im Achronim. And Hosea is prophesying at the same time as Yeshaya HaNovi, Yechezkel, Yirmiyahu, who are also called part of Nevi'im Achronim. And Hosea appears to be, as we're going to see in Pasuk Aleph, from Shevet Reuven, which means he's in the 10 tribes. He prophesies for more than 60 years, so he sees many kings of Israel and Yehuda over the course of his time, as we'll see in the first Pasuk, which sounds an awful lot like the first Pasuk of the Haftarah Chazon, which is the beginning of Sefer Yeshaya. According to a Kabbalah, and it's hard to know exactly how much veracity everything has, Hosea died in Babel. And before he died, he gave instructions that they bury him in Eretz Yisrael. And he commanded, they put him in a coffin, tie it to a camel, and let the camel go by itself, which is a very interesting tradition of what happened. And wherever the camel stopped, they should bury him. So they listened. They attached this coffin to a camel. The camel went from Babel straight to Eretz Yisrael without incident, without being hindered, arrived in Tzfas. And they read the letter in the coffin, and the citizens of Tzfas recognized it was Hosea HaNavi and buried him with great kavod. So very interesting. It's not in the Sefer itself. So Sefer Hosea and all of Treyasar begin, Pasuk Aleph. And remember, this is a time of great decay among the Jewish people, and the decay starts from the top. It's the rich, it's the powerful who are doing terrible things to their underlings, terrible things to the poor people, to the most vulnerable people in society. These are the kinds of things that today's progressive activists want to argue is what's wrong with American society. I think there are some notable differences, but I'm not going to criticize the fact that the Torah does tell us to be very careful of those with the least protection, the almana, the yosom. We have to be very wary of oppressing them for the sake of a few extra dollars in our pockets. Unfortunately, during the Zman of the Nevi'im, especially Nevi'im Achronim, that was commonplace. So, Dvar Hashem Asher Haya El Hosea Ben Be'iri. This is the word of God, which came to Hosea Ben Be'iri, and the Rashi and others identify Be'iri as Be'era Nasi Reuven. He was exiled in Divrei Yamim to Ashur by Tiglath-Pileser. And he was called Be'era because he was like the Be'er HaTorah, like a well, like a deep source of Torah teaching. And he died in exile to try to get, says Pesika de Rav Kahana, to get Klal Yisrael, to get especially the Eser Shvatim, to repent, which of course they didn't. We also have a tradition that if the father of a Navi is mentioned openly in the Pesukim, that means he was a Navi as well. So he may have been mentioned briefly in Sefer Yeshaya, two Pesukim that were put in there as Be'era's prophecy of two Pesukim. And when Reuven and Gad were the first ones exiled, Sancheriv exiled Reuven and Gad first before the rest of Klal Yisrael, as they have been warned, if you take your territory outside Eretz Yisrael, you'll be the first to go. But why would we let things like living in the soil of Eretz Yisrael get in the way of business interests? So when did Hosea prophesy? Bimei Uziyah, in the days of King Uziyah, Yosam, Achaz, Yechizkiyahu, Malchi Yehuda. The same ones mentioned in Sefer Yeshaya. He outlived four kings. And Rashi in Psachim says, woe to those who seek kavod, because it buries those who hold it. Those in authority do not last long. And I've mentioned this before. Look at any president before they were president and after, possibly with the exception of Donald Trump, who seems to be made out of Teflon Don. But most presidents look much more aged by the time they're finished. It's hard to be a leader. I wouldn't know. I have successfully avoided being elected to any leadership anywhere I go. Uvimei Yeravam ben Yoash, Melech Yisrael. But also, in the days of Yeravam ben Yoash. Yeravam ben Yoash is Jeroboam II, who is the great-grandson of Yehu, who reigned at the same time as Uziyahu and Yosam. Now, ordinarily, a Melech Yisrael is such a Rasha, he doesn't get a special shout-out, but he did something very positive concerning the Navi Amos, as we're going to see when we get to Amos, that he showed kavod to Amos rather than just disparaging him the way everybody else in his society was. And Yeravam ben Yoash was king for a very long time, and there's something to that, as we'll see as we go on. Pasuk Beis Tchilas Diber Hashem beHoshea. At the beginning of Hashem speaking to Hoshea, Vayomer Hashem el Hoshea, Hashem said to Hoshea, Leich kach lecha eshes zinunim, v'yalde zinunim. Go take yourself a wife of harlotry. Take yourself a wife who is a prostitute, a woman of easy virtue, a whore as your wife. And the children of harlotry, ki zano tizneh ha'aretz me'acharei Hashem. Because the land is a harlot. The land is going astray from following HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what is going on here? So the Rambam says, as he tends to, that all nevuah is a vision, and this wasn't a concrete demand that he marry a loose woman, and then when she has his children, he will never be certain that they are his children because they are possibly illegitimate from somebody else. So Rashi, from many Chazal, says this is literal. Marry a woman known for being a lewd woman, profligate woman of terrible behavior, because you're going to be an example to the people of what the victims of harlotry are, that the family at home is victimized by the behavior of the woman who is supposed to be the mother of the children and the core of the household. So their constantly increasing sins are the children of harlotry. So it's a symbol and it's a requirement. Now, Rambam, Radak, and Ibn Ezra say it's a vision. He really would tell Hoshea to take such a wife. So what he's trying to do is Hashem is saying that this is a woman who's guilty of being disloyal to her husband, infidelity, worshiping other gods, is committing adultery. So you have to bring them to repent. So according to some, Hoshea, the Malbim says, Hoshea hadn't gone far enough to give them Musar, because a woman who committed adultery has to be divorced and cannot return. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him Musar and said, no, that's going too far. I don't want to divorce Klal Yisrael permanently. I want Klal Yisrael to repent of their behavior, but I'm not going to cast them out forever, despite the fact that the halacha would generally require such a thing. But clearly, Klal Yisrael has gone too far. And now you are either realistically or symbolically to go too far yourself as a symbol for all of Klal Yisrael of what's going on. So this is not a man who is, I mean, if his father was in fact a Nasi Yisrael, then he is somewhat upper class. But he's not like a Melech Ben David or anything. He is somebody who is just going to be a living example to the people of what should not happen. Much like the commandment to Yechezkel to shave the corners of his beard with a razor. Or for Eliyahu HaNavi to sacrifice on Har Carmel after the Beis HaMikdash. You're not supposed to sacrifice on Har Carmel. So some of the Nebuos asked the Navi to do something, in a manner of speaking, to a religious person, almost unthinkable. But desperate times require desperate measures.